All right. Specifically, mainly for you general contractors out there, or those of you that use a lot of subcontracted work and stuff, you're looking to save time, save money on your projects, you know, and all that good stuff. Guys, change orders are one of the fastest ways that you're going to lose your ass if you're not on top of that. And that's why I have Cameron Page on the show today. He's a former project manager for a big ass GC and basically created Xtracker to improve that whole change order process to make life easier on you, your subs, and all that stuff. So guys, tune in, check out this interview, this conversation I have with Cameron, and then hit the links in the show notes and check out what he's got there. Jump in, do a demo and this and that. If you find yourself in a cumbersome and tedious process of the change order world, then Cameron is your guy. Check him out. Here's my conversation with Cameron. Cameron, welcome to the fight. How you doing, man?
Tom, thanks for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we're both talking about, before we hit record here, about we woke up this morning, we got these little nagging coughs. So hopefully we don't hack too much on the podcast here today. So for those of you—
Yeah, I just didn't bring my radio voice this morning.
It's all good, man. So I shared a little bit about you in the intro and your company and all that, but give us the 30,000 foot history or view of Cameron and how you ended up here doing this and a little bit of that background, man. So people kind of know where you're coming from.
Yeah. You know, I have a software company today, but I, you know, started in construction, you know, back when I was about 17. You know, my family doesn't have a construction background, but I've always just been interested in building things my whole life. And so when I was looking at, you know, where I could go to college, I wanted to focus on somewhere that, you know, I could get into the building industry somehow. I didn't know exactly what that meant, but I found that there was a construction management major that existed, and I thought that sounded pretty cool. So I got accepted to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo and went to their construction management program for 5 years, did an extra year there. But somewhere when I was about 17 and I got into that program, I realized, you know, if I'm going to be supposedly managing construction projects someday, I should probably have done the construction at some point in my life. So that first summer before college, actually enrolled in a local apprenticeship program here. I'm from Sacramento originally.
Okay.
And went to work for a commercial wood framing company just as a apprentice, swinging a hammer. And I didn't even start swinging a hammer. I literally started cleaning up the lumber scraps and sweeping the floors and stuff. And but that was a great experience. I ended up being able to partner, really apprentice for like a master carpenter there. And spent a couple summers really learning from the ground up, working with a bunch of different crews, a lot of cool different projects. And from there, I worked for another general contractor, a superintendent for a summer. And then I graduated in 2009, which, as many people recall, wasn't the greatest time to graduate with a construction management degree. But luckily, I found a company called DevCon Construction here in the Bay Area. So big general contractor, and moved up here and we're with them for about 9 years, building, you know, anything from fast tenant improvements all the way up to large ground up campus construction. And so as I was there, I obviously saw a lot of challenges on the day-to-day, you know, and that our industry faced. And so that's really where the idea for Xtracker came, which is the software company that I now own. So that's kind of the short high-level story. Yeah.
And what year did you start Xtracker?
So we started in May of 2018.
There you go. I know we actually have a lot of GCs that listen to this and also a lot of subcontractors. And I know before we kind of get into your product here a little bit, I wanted to talk about what were some of the common struggles that you were having? Because eventually you scratched your own itch here. You created something, right? That it was born out of probably some of your own frustration in the industry and things like that. What were some of those pains that you were trying to solve that you see as super common in the trades?
Yeah, I mean, I think at a high level, the pain point that we're solving is around communication. And, you know, construction is such an amazing industry where people of all walks of life, all different positions work together to build a project. And that's especially true in commercial. You know, we work as a general contractor with PM, you're working with an architect, engineers, you're managing the client's expectations, you're managing your own team, you're managing the budget, but then you're also hiring, you know, 20 or 30 subcontractors on every project.
Yeah.
And you're trying to communicate with all of those people to really achieve the same goals. And so communication in our industry is key. Being able to communicate with the owner and then turn right around and communicate with, you know, a laborer out on the job site takes a lot of time to develop those skills. So there's a lot of things to solve in our industry. You know, the way I've always thought about our industry is, you know, as a GC, we hire specific contractors to work on specific parts of the project because they're the best at it. And those subcontractors choose tools to do the job that they need to do. And so there's a lot of things to fix in the industry. And you know, we are solving one around really financial communication, but we're not solving every problem in the industry. You know, we are the right tool for the job for when it comes to tracking changes to project costs. And I'm a believer in you're going to use the right tool for each job. And so that's kind of where we landed on the challenge that we're solving.
Well, you know, the tracking the changes to the project and the money is one of the fastest ways guys are stealing from their families, right? Like they're screwing themselves over because they're not effectively tracking this stuff. I mean, I remember working with this was a small residential contractor, I don't know, a couple of years ago, man, who we dug into his books. He couldn't figure out why he didn't have any money. Long story short, there were about $90,000 to $100,000 worth of change orders they never invoiced, you know? And this was a guy doing, I think at the time he was $1 million, $1.2 million business. So not a very big business, but so that's 8 or 10% of his annual revenue was sitting there waiting for him. It was never invoiced.
Yeah.
You know, and he was going like literally just going, man, we got all this work. I can't figure this out. So you came right out of the gate when I asked you to share this with us about communication. And we talk about communication a lot here in the fight, because I believe it's a number one skill that any of us need to be successful in anything in life is if you can't communicate with other people. How does this work? So let's say I'm a GC and I'm like, man, I love this. Do you ever get any pushback, or do companies get pushbacks from their subs wanting to use this? And what goes into that with getting them up to speed and this and that? Because I know, and I have a couple points on this, and I'm going to barf them out quickly and then I'll let you talk. All right.
Yeah.
I don't want to forget. I'll forget if I don't tell you. So on one side, you got some of the crusty old contractor guys that are set in their ways and, you know, I'm not downloading something on my phone and playing this fucking game or whatever. Right. Then on the flip side, I look at the struggle that we have attracting people into the trades. And I think one of the cool things about this is you're going to where the puck is going to be in a few years, right? Like you're always thinking forward with technology. Younger people are more attracted to cool shit and apps and technology and being with the times. So I think a company that's still in the stone ages with the way they're doing their work is actually going to make it harder to recruit younger people into the company as well. So that's just everything that was rolling around in my brain. So do what you want with that, man.
Yeah, that's a lot. No, it's such a good couple of points there. And I think taking a little bit of a step back first, you know, I think when it, you know, specifically my company focuses on change orders, but regardless of our software, mm-hmm. you know, change orders are kind of have a negative, you know, connotation in the industry, right? You're asking right. either your client for extra money or maybe you're backcharging somebody. But really a change order request is a tool to help communicate the changes to the project costs or the companies you're working with. And I think viewing it as a tool is a really good way to approach it, because let's say you are a general contractor, you're working with your client, you want to make sure that they are up to date in real time on any potential changes that might happen on the job and make it as easy as possible for them to understand what those changes might be and do it as early as possible, right? The last thing anybody wants is a surprise at the end of the job that, as we know, can lead to, you know, litigation or disputes and stuff like that. So they're really a tool to document and keep people proactively up to date and let them make decisions. You know, it's like a lot of times a client early in the project will make all these upgrades. They'll want to upgrade the carpet, want to upgrade, you know, the walls. And so that adds to the budget. But a lot of times there's going to be anticipated costs for overtime or trade damage or things that will then come up at the end that actually push the project over budget. So again, seeing it all in one place in real time is really key. And that's you know, what we focus on. And the reason why it's challenging is everyone has their own internal facing financial software. And that's not collaborative, but you don't really want to invite someone to your financials. So as a result, you communicate changes in email and Excel spreadsheets, something that's shareable, which makes it challenging for it to be accurate in real time. But to answer your question, you know, the way we approach tech and my really belief in the industry is I think our industry is very ready for technology. The technology providers just need to build good solutions. And so for us, anybody who's going to be using our software, it needs to be easy for them to use, but then there also needs to be value in it for them to use it. And so like for us, what that means is, you know, specifically, we do have a field portion of our app. So if there is field directed extra work or they're fixing something on a time and material basis, the field user can use our mobile app to take photos of their work, write down the labor, material, equipment, what they're spending, mm-hmm. and they can have the customer sign it directly on the device and then have it captured for both parties so they know about it. And that's great, but if it's not easy to use, the field guys are just going to do it on carbon copy paper how they normally do it.
Yeah.
And so for us, we need to sell it to them and make it easy enough and eliminate some pain for them. And the way that works for us is, well, hey, once it's signed, it's out of your hands. You can get back to your job, focus on, you know, doing what you do best and not have to worry about doing something with this piece of paper and getting in trouble for, you know, not getting back to the office in time. And then the same thing moves into the office. Like, how can we help streamline workflows that are otherwise very manual, very, very labor intensive, to make it worthwhile for the admins or project manager who's processing change orders or keeping track of a change order log? You know, we automate a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But then the end result is, hey, what's this mean for your client? You know, if you're able to keep them up to date in real time with a cloud-based change order log that has access to all the files, so they never have to go back to their inbox to understand changes, you can also add value there. So we're trying to add value as much as possible. But you know, we hear people talk about our industry as being behind when it comes to technology. And my firm belief on that is that's on us as a technology provider to build better tech for the industry. Yeah. I just think the industry is ready for it, but not all the software companies have made it really easy to get tech implemented.
Well, you know, as you're talking about the change order process of handwriting them out, and then you got to get the thing back to the office. And I'm going way back. I don't know, shit, what year is it now? Almost 20 years ago now, 15, 20 years ago, where we were doing that in my painting company. You know, we had change order requests, additional work forms, whatever you want to call them. And nothing was in real time. It was definitely a different era than it is now with technology. I mean, lots happened in a couple decades, right? But even till this day, I mean, recently, I remember talking with another contractor who was doing everything really through like Slack or some messaging app. And then he was doing, trying to keep track of things in Google Drive. And I don't know about you, but I just open up my damn Gmail, dude, and I search for something in there. It takes me 6 hours to find it. You know, like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing wrong, but just when you're talking about being able to pull this thing up, it's signed and I can put it back in my pocket and go about my day and it's already handled. I mean, that's got to save a ton of time for a company. Yeah. I don't know how much time, but in my mind, I'm like, that's a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, and so you mentioned painting. You know, painting contractors are one of like our core customer profiles, just because they, at the end of the job, you know, they get kind of screwed. They get their schedule gets compressed. Everyone damages the paint, and now it's like, hey, you had that $100,000 painting contract. Guess what? It just doubled, and now it's on you to track all the extra work that you're being asked to do, and make sure you get reimbursed for it. And that's such a big burden with carbon copy, extra work authorizations, processing the change order request. You know, we went through a bunch of our old data and we found that on average, you know, in commercial, there's the T&M authorization process and then you convert it into a change order request for pricing. We found on average, subs were doing that in about 24 days, which means that some subs are maybe really on top of it, but some subs, it's taken them like 40 or 50 days just to get the processing done. So then they can send the change order request to their GC. Then their GC has to approve the change order request. Then they can bill for it. So subs are strung out, you know, easily over 100 days on getting reimbursed for this type of extra work. And it can be a huge impact to their, you know, balance sheet at the end of the day of their company. And so, so just the processing time alone is really, really valuable from a cash flow standpoint. But the visibility is even, I think, even more important. You know, as a GC on one of my last projects, I built a large housing complex for at Stanford. And I remember towards the end of the job, maybe the last 9 months or so, I actually started checking it. I was getting 400 to 500 emails every day, whether it be from the architect, engineer, all my subs, you know, just general business emails. And there's just no way you can get to all. So I would be hunting, searching for like the word change order to make sure I didn't miss anything. And then as a GC, what we do is we email our subs once a month and we say, hey, can you send me a log of every change order that's outstanding just so I can have an insurance policy, make sure I haven't missed anything. Then we have to wait for our subs to update those logs and send it back to us. And so the number one thing for us is removing this process from your inbox. You know, sure, we still send email notifications the same as you would, but having it logged somewhere in real time, that's collaborative with your trade partners, so you don't have to go through that reconciliation process,
yeah,
is probably the biggest win. And that gives you the ability to make sure what you're forecasting internally is actually up to date. And for subs, you know, again, the burden is on them so much as far as the processing time and making sure they're getting reimbursed for work they've already spent money on. But again, with the way the process is today, being so manual, it's really hard to keep tabs on how long something actually is aging and, you know, how many change orders are actually outstanding. Because a lot of times you don't enter them into accounting software until you know they're going to get approved or you actually want to forecast for them. Mm-hmm. But again, as you described earlier, there could be a lot that's circulating that's sort of below the surface.
Today's sponsor of the podcast is Contractor Growth Network. If you go to thecontractorfight.com/CGN, I invite you to do that and check out what Logan and his team got going on over there. Listen, they do a lot of things, but basically they help you sell more of your stuff, you guys, to the right people. So instead of helping you just generate a bunch of crappy leads, they actually help you attract the right prospects that are ready to buy. And they do that because they build websites that show off your work. They connect with your ideal client and actually generate revenue. And then they also help you leverage the knowledge that you already have to create this pipeline of quality leads of people that want to hire you, where you're basically making the competition irrelevant. So if you have an online presence that is not performing the way that you want it to perform for you, go to thecontractorfight.com/CGN and get started talking with Logan and his team over there. I promise you, you will not regret it. Well, you know, this whole, you're talking about the average was what, 24 days, which means you, there's a lot of people on the other higher end of that average, right? And so, yeah. And I'm of the mindset, one of our, I guess, unwritten laws here in the Contractor Fight is don't mess with the money. You know, that's something I learned from one of my business partners. And this is really a great tool that gives you leverage to not fuck with your money. Like we work hard enough to get the phone to ring and do the work and to fulfill the work and all this other stuff. When we're not, we don't have that leverage or something simple on the other end of how to invoice, how to get paid, how to keep track of all that stuff. It's just hurting us. It's just making our lives more complicated than they need to be, which is ultimately one of the reasons I wanted to have you on here today, is because I always want to put tools in the hands of these guys and girls that are out there kicking ass, working their tails off, to not have to wait, you know, 1 second longer than they need to for their money, because they, not just because they maybe forgot to invoice, maybe they forgot to fill the damn thing out. Right. I mean, there's a lot of relationships. I mean, I've had them through the years where they're like, hey, Tom, they want to change these doors and we want to paint them this color or whatever. Right. Okay, fine. You make the change. They added something. If I didn't write it down right away, there's a pretty good chance it's gone. So, you know, I had one of my other buddies, remodeling contractor. He had I always say a tile guy. I don't think it was a tile guy. It was something else who sent him invoices for all these changes like 9 months after the job when he realized it. And is like, dude, no, it ain't happening now. Like you know.
And that's why, you know, that's why I really believe the problem is rooted in just communication. You know, and like I said, change orders have like a negative connotation in our industry, but a lot of times it's mostly just around how they're processed and communicated. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is doing it in real time. Because if I'm a GC or I'm an owner and I am going to have extra cost, I want to know about it as fast as possible. And ideally, it's documented in a really clear way that I can understand it. And a lot of times, you know, when it's handwritten, hard to read, there are maybe not photos of the work. And it's now 9 months later, like you said, it's like, what the hell am I paying for? And so that's really the tool set that we're trying to give contractors, is the ability to professionally document your stuff, get it in front of your client as fast as possible, so you don't burn that bridge and you don't, you know, screw up a relationship with a client, you know, that you want to do a lot more work for.
So you talk a lot about the commercial setting here and GCs and stuff like that. Is there any value in a residential remodeler or someone like that using this with just normal residential clients? Like, you know, we talked about painting, you talk about painters, like, you know, a painter goes and he's painting a whole house, you know, and somebody wants to add the deck in the backyard or whatever. Is this applicable there? Does it make sense for a situation like that as well?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it does. You know, the processes that we built into the software are largely based on some of the workflows in the commercial space, but it definitely translates to residential the same. And at the end of the day, you know, the underlying problem that we're solving, like I said, is communication. And the core tool we do that is a digital change order log. But for a residential contractor, you can almost think of it as like a shopping list, right? If your client is asking for things to be priced and changes to be made, you can create them however you're creating them normally. You can actually just upload them into our software. And then you can send your client a link to the live log of all the potential changes. And your client can log in and respond and decide on or ask questions about those changes. Like, hey, how come this is costing so much? Can we maybe remove this piece of it and have it cost a little bit less? And again, today, those are either in-person conversations or through email.
Yeah.
So this is like a tool just to track all that in one spot. So we haven't focused on residential. Like, and, you know, we've only been around for about 3 years now, and we've largely focused on commercial. But we do have residential contractors using the software throughout the U.S. right now.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot of guys that dabble a little bit in both. You know, I'm thinking of a couple of guys right now that are predominantly, you know, 80% of their work is residential. And then they'll, every now and then through relationships and things like that, they'll do some light commercial build outs or whatever. And, you know, so and so. So talk to me about, this is probably what somebody who's listening is thinking right now. So as it's coming to me here, somebody's listening to this, they're like, yeah, I got to have something like this because I'm losing my ass. I'm spending too much time on this stuff, blah, blah, blah. But they're maybe a little bit afraid or gun shy to pull the trigger because of the on-ramp time of using something like this and the friction of teaching something like this to their team, their subs, blah, blah, blah. Walk us through that. Any tips you have for that person in that situation?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've all either experienced or heard about software rollouts that take, you know, 12 months to get someone up and running. And that's, again, having one, the nature of our software, like the way our software works is a GC will create a project and they'll actually invite their subcontractors to the project in our software. The subs then create their own accounts with their own projects and they're all linked together. And in order to have that be part of our business model, the software has to be really easy to work because those subs who get invited have to be able to instantly onboard and use the tool. And so that's really the way we built the software, is like, just how can we focus on removing friction from getting people to actually use it and get value quickly? And so you can create a free account on our website and test it out. We do have some free features that people can use. And, you know, and we can, you know, help people with a pilot as well. But the other way that we really focused on the software is, like I said, the live change order log is kind of our core tool. And in order to use it, you actually don't have to change anything you're doing internally. All you do is, instead of emailing your client with a change order, you drag and drop your change order into our software. You email it through our software. The client receives a copy of it. But then that shared log automatically gets updated and on your client's end as well. And that's regardless of whether or not the client is using our software. The client can sign up and create a free account, log in and interact, but they don't have to. And then beyond that, if you want to leverage our TNM mobile app to track work out in the field, if you want to use our change order templates to create change orders, you can layer those in as you go. But the basic version, you basically don't have to change anything you're doing. You just have to email things through our software and we'll start catching them and updating them for you. And that's, I think, been key to a lot of our early growth.
Yeah, because I mean, the key is it's simple. It's easy, right? Like it's not going to, like you said, take 12 months to get everybody onboarded onto this thing. I mean, I've seen companies that just purchase something like this, and because it's such a pain in the ass to get off the ground, they never use it, right? So it's, now, can I message back and forth in this as well? So like, say I'm your painter, you're the GC, and any communication you and I have, like if I had a question about the change order, hey, are you sure you wanted to do this? But is that all stored within there? So there's that history, like you said, so you don't have to go searching.
Yeah. So it's basically like a live paper trail.
That's awesome.
And the one feature that's really cool too, is by sending the change order through our software, we can actually tell the subcontractor whether or not the client has opened the change order.
Ooh,
Which is great for them. It sounds like a small feature, but for one, if your GC missed the change order, that means that it's currently a surprise for them. And so being able to know, hey, oh, they haven't actually opened this yet, I need to resend it. So you can easily resend stuff through our software and make sure that your client actually knows about the changes. Or if you have something that's aging, you know, 60 days, you can say, oh, wait, they only looked at it 3 months ago. I should probably check in on this or resend it to them. And we track all that stuff in like an activity feed that you can filter and look at for each change.
That's cool. That is good stuff. So where are you going, man? Let's, I'll give you a second here in a minute to share where people can reach you. But before we do that, where are you taking this, this company, Cameron? What are your big plans? And, I'm always curious to hear how people answer this question and where they're going, man.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for us, you know, we're kind of the first to market. We call this change order communication, and it's kind of a new category in the industry. And again, the reason we exist is every company likely has an accounting software or ERP software where they track their own internal budget. And all of those typically have a change order module. So they're typing in tracking change orders internally. But again, because all that software is internal facing and private, it's not collaborative, right? And so people wind up collaborating around changes outside of those systems in shared spreadsheets or email or carbon copy. So for us, you know, we're the middleman to help companies stay on the same page. And so we see it, you know, we believe we have the ability to become the standard for how companies communicate changes on projects, regardless of what software they're using internally, because everyone's got something slightly different.
Yeah.
And so that's where we're headed. It's been growing fast. You know, it's cool because companies can invite each other to the platform. Mm-hmm. So we see companies signing up all the time that are introduced to it from other contractors. And that's where we're headed. And you know, beyond that, we may expand into other offerings, but we're really probably going to focus on financial collaboration for, you know, the long haul here.
Yeah. All right. So I got to ask you this one last thing on my end here. So a lot of guys are working in the trades. They own a business. They're working for somebody, this and that. They look at all this other technology stuff, because I hear this a lot. People message us all the time and ask us this. They want to start another business. I don't know about you, but I see a lot of people that, you know, think that, you know, starting a software company is a piece of cake, you know, and all this. I mean, I do. I hear people all say, yeah, I'm going to create this app, or hey, I'm going to do this. And I know there's a lot of people that are listening to this right now that have ideas and things like that and their own itch to scratch. I'm just curious, from your point of view, what have been some of the most challenging and most rewarding aspects to you getting this thing off the ground?
Yeah. Well, first of all, if anyone is listening and they're thinking of starting their own software company, shoot me an email. I really love this stuff. I think our industry is so entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes underlooked. You know, all the people you work with, they've taken a huge leap. They've started their own company, and it's not easy by any means. Especially construction, it's super capital intensive and it's hard to get going. But once you do, it can be really rewarding. For me, I have always wanted to start something. You know, I definitely have had the entrepreneurial spirit in me. So I just went all in. You know, I said, I'm going to put my own money in. I bootstrapped starting the company. I was like, hey, you know, I've managed project teams my whole career. I can definitely manage a group of engineers. And turns out there are definitely a lot of similarities, but there's a ton of differences. And so the learning curve was really steep for me. You know, I worked on it for probably over a year developing the products before launching. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I think I initially thought it was going to take like 4 or 5 months, and it took well over a year. So
yeah,
it's not easy, but there's tons of great resources out there. Like I said, I'm actually helping a couple other companies get started, you know, down this path. And so, but I think just going with the cool thing about software is, you know, you're essentially paying for labor to do the programming, do the coding. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of tools to help make that more efficient, tools that I wish I knew about, you know, back then. But it's fun to see something come to life, and it's really rewarding seeing people use the software and get a ton of value out of it. It's been really cool. You know, we've had a big impact on quite a few subcontractors and GCs. And so it's really cool to hear that. But again, back to your question, you know, especially when you're introducing something new to the industry, it can be really challenging. And so you do have to have a good idea, and you do have to build it the right way, and you have to be hyper-focused on the customer, on the end user. And then I think on top of that, you have to have conviction in what you're doing. Because, you know, I really believe that this is a problem that needs to be solved on a pretty major scale, because I lived it. And because I lived it, you know, I can put the blinders on, put the earmuffs on when people challenge me on it and be like, well, no, because like, I know I would need this tool and use it. So I think, no matter what business you're starting, having conviction around what you're doing is super important, and believing in yourself and believing in the vision, and then getting after it and executing.
You know, I love that. As you're sharing, I'm thinking of all the people that have an idea. You know, we are not short on ideas in this world. You know, everyone has a fucking idea for this, that, or the other thing. I think what's cool is that, you know, those that make a dent, those that, you know, change lives, change industries, things like that, they actually execute on the idea, which is where most people fall short. They get knocked off track. Like, you thought this was going to take 4 to 5 months, probably thought certain things wouldn't be as expensive to pull off as other things. I get that, right? But because you believed in it so much and you had that conviction and that commitment to it, you got to the point where you could execute the thing. And so hats off to you for that. Cause I see a lot of people start, or they try to start, and they never really start because they never get past that idea phase. You know, they might get some things on paper. They might make a couple phone calls or something, and then they just get distracted, or, you know, whatever. So
yeah.
Kudos.
I think the key to that too is like getting good people in your corner who are going to push you. And that's definitely what I had. You know, I spent 10 years in construction and developed a lot of great relationships. And like I said, it's a very entrepreneurial industry. So it's easy to find people who have started things, although they're typically, it's not a software company. You know, I remember even when I had it built, you know, there was still some hesitancy to like pulling the trigger, quitting my job, going for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of my mentors, he started a scaffolding company. He's done really well. And he was like, you know, at a certain point, you got to anchor the boats in the harbor, get your whole team on shore. And then at night, you got to sneak out and you got to burn the boats. And you just got to be all in, storming the beach. And I was like, all right, well, that's, you know, he did a better job of telling that story, but it got me fired up. And then another friend who started a big HVAC company. And I was like, what do you think? I was like, should I do it? And he's like, you have to do this. He's like, and, you know, I showed him the product and all that kind of stuff. So it certainly helps having people in your corner pushing you in the right direction. And because, like I said, even when you're at the finish line, sometimes it's hard to, and that, of course, that was really the starting line. But yeah, just getting it, you know, quitting my job, I told everyone in my company I was doing it just to really force myself to be all in. They were like, what the hell? You're quitting your career to start a software company? But again, all those things were really what I needed to do to make sure that I was committed and going to do it.
Well, that's good stuff, man. I love the story. I love the story of a man or woman who has an idea, they want to go for it. And like your friends told you, like, you have to do this. Like, if you didn't do it, you'd be kicking yourself. Even if it totally, you know, were to fail, right? At least you would know, hey, I gave the thing a shot. You know, because a lot of people go, well, what if it fails? And I go, well, what if you win?
Yeah.
You know, what if it's just game changing for you and your life and your family tree. Like, you know, how are you going to know unless you throw that shit against the wall and go for it? So,
yeah. And absolutely, even on top of that too, even if you do fail, the amount you're going to learn building something and putting in the work and the network you're going to build, the people you're going to meet, and the podcasts you're going to go on. Yeah. You know, it just broadens your whole network and stuff like that, which is really good. And it teaches you a lot about yourself too, which is super important. So like I said, if anyone out there is thinking about it, feel free to email me or connect with me on LinkedIn. And I'm always happy to help.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate that. Well, how can people get a hold of you? How can they check out the product and do a demo or whatever it is? How's that work, man?
Yeah, just go to our website. It's called xtracker.com, or shoot me an email. Just cpage, C-P-A-G-E. At xtracker.com or find me on LinkedIn or wherever and reach out. Yeah, we're happy to show it off, especially if there's some residential guys out there. You know, it isn't exactly the market we focused on, but we do have residential people who are using it and are loving it. So it is a space we'd love to learn more about and see how we can help add more value.
Go, I love it, man. Well, listen, hats off to you. Great job these last 3 years. And making it happen. I know you're helping a lot of people make some more money, save a bunch of time, and that's always good. And we will go ahead and we'll get all the info in the show notes for those of you that are listening. So you just scroll down and click a button and check out Cameron's website and reach out to him and his team. Cameron, super appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom. Enjoyed it.
Awesome. All right, guys, hit the links, check out Cameron's stuff. And share this podcast with another contractor who you know might find value in it. We appreciate you. Don't forget to give us a review on iTunes. And with that, Travis, bring in the guitars. And guys, we are out of here. Until next time.